Today's Daily Torah is sponsored by Tanya Friedlander for the sake of the ascent of the soul of her father, Alexander ben Eliyahu Levi, whose fifth yahrzeit is today, a Holocaust survivor whose response to all the death that he saw was to become an OBGYN to bring life to the world. May his merit protect her and all of us. The Talmud, which is the ultimate repository of our entire oral tradition, the Talmud, of course, includes the Mishnah and the Gemara. And in the Gemara, in the Talmud, also is included many, many, many stories. All different types of stories, what could be called term today, fables and legends and myths. And also stories about our holy sages, Chazal, the actual rabbis of the Mishnah, the Tanoim, and the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara. And one of the most famous and interesting stories that's found in the Talmud, and some of you might know it from the Seder, from Passover night by the Seder, because it has to do with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, his beard turning white overnight. I'm like 70 years old, that whole story. So the longer story actually had to do with politics. Yes, unfortunately, politics among Jews did not begin recently, and even by the sages there was politics, and it's a very, very long story in the Tractate Brachos, page 28, a very long, fascinating story. But basically, the bottom line of the story was that there was essentially a political rebellion against Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, which for all intents and purposes was considered the head of the Jewish people at the time, the Gadol Ador, the Nasi. Rabban Gamliel was literally the leader of the Sanhedrin, which post the destruction of the Second Temple, the Sanhedrin was the authority of the Jewish people until we no longer had one, and Rabban Gamliel was the head of it. But Rabban Gamliel, of course, he was a tremendous tzaddik, he's one of our sages, but he was not an easy person. He felt he had to exercise his authority very strongly, very often. And so the Gemara tells a story that there was Rabbi Yeshua, who was another one of the Tanoim, writers of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yeshua was extremely popular among the people, and Rabban Gamliel kept picking on him, until finally there was a political rebellion among all the students in the Beis Medrash, in the yeshiva that the Sanhedrin sat, and they basically had Rabban Gamliel fired. The people had him removed from the position of the head of the Sanhedrin because he was too domineering and strict. And instead, they took Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to be in charge, which was why his beard overnight had to turn white. But the Gemara says that one of the first things that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did when he was made head of Sanhedrin instead of Rabbi Gamliel is that he removed the guard from the door. Apparently, there was a guard. Rabban Gamliel had a guard standing by the door of the yeshiva. And the guard would only let in students to enter the yeshiva to be part of the learning. Only students that were toichai kebaroi. That the way that they looked on the outside reflected who they really were inside. Not just not two-faced, not just not hypocritical. But there was a guard, there was a shomer at Pesach, there was a guard at the door. Rabban Gamliel was so strict that he would never let anyone come learn Torah if their pnimius, if their inwardness, if what was going in their inner world wasn't as quote-unquote good as they dressed on their outside, their chitzonius, their outwardness. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't believe that there should be such discrimination and such a high standard. He didn't believe in like accepting only students to certain yeshivas. He thought that everyone should be allowed to come in and learn, and so he removed the guard. But the holy Kutzker Rebbe Mendel of Kutzk asked the obvious question, was the guard a mind reader? A heart reader? How could the guard know what was going on in everyone's inner world? Sometimes we ourselves could barely know what's going on in our pnimius, in our inner world. How did the guard know to let in only those people whose externality really reflected their inwardness? So the Kutzker Rebbe answered in a real Kutzk fashion, the guard didn't let anyone in. He just didn't let anyone come in. But anyone whose pnimius, whose inwardness had as much God in it as the way they dressed outside, they found a way to get in anyway. The guard didn't let anyone in. But if your pnimius, your inwardness, was really reflective of how you dressed outside, you'd find a way to get in even though the guard didn't let you in. That's what the Kutzker Rebbe said. And I think inherent in the Kotzker's explanation, I don't know if it's literal, he means that that's exactly what the guard did or not, I don't know. But certainly inherent in his explanation is a very deep explanation of what's really happening here. You see, it doesn't make sense to say that the guard, that Rabbi Gamliel told the guard not to let in anyone that was a faker, that was inauthentic, that was just an actor, that was a liar. Those people are degenerate. People that dress outside religious and don't act that way inside, those people are literally degenerate people. People that pretend to be pious when they're the opposite. But on the other hand, all of us, as long as you're in the category of being human being, we don't always live up to the expectations of who we want to be and how we identify ourselves. All of us mess up sometimes. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows, but we don't sometimes, and sometimes we're not able to completely rule the vast kingdom known as our inwardness, our inner world. We're not monarchs ruling over everything that's happening inside of us, and sometimes we're not able to live up to such standards. So listen to what the genius of what I think the Kotzker Rebbe is trying to teach us. The Kotzker Rebbe is saying like this. Of course, we're not talking about fakers and phonies. Nothing to talk about. Of course, And yet, on the other hand, none of us are completely pristine inside. And yet we'd like to identify ourselves as God-fearing religious Jews. So what's the answer? So the Kotzker Rebbe said, you know what inwardness is? You know what really shows that inside one is truly religious and connected to God like one presents on the outside? You know what really shows that? There's one way to test that. What happens when it's taken away from you? What happens when it's held from you? If this is who you are, if Judaism, if Torah, if God is who you are and you feel it, then that is your authentic self, even though we mess up sometimes. But when it's tried to take away from you and you want it and you'll do anything to get it, that shows that it's who you really are. And that's a lesson for all of us. Of course, we all sin. But how could we know if inside that frontier, the final frontier that we spend our lives looking for, our inside, how do we know that it could reflect our outside? The answer is when challenges happen, when it's difficult, when connecting to Hashem and Torah is being taken away from us. Do we want it anyway? Will we do anything to do it anyway? That shows who you are. In life, you could tell what you really want and who you really are by the effort you put in when something is being taken away. May we truly always break down the doors of Torah and God and never ever let anything prevent us from spending our lives trying to attain Hashem and His Torah.